Jerry said he locked the door. I suspect he'll be unlocking them in a few minutes. So, evidently, somebody put my name on a sign or something. I'm kidding, sort of. All right, let's get started. Before I start the message, I want to reiterate, let's pray for our pastor. He's off preaching a homecoming this morning, and I think that's off in Delco. I'm not even sure where that is. But he's off preaching with Teresa's family. But I sense the weight he feels on his shoulders, and maybe some of you have picked up on that too. And I just want to, he encourages us, we should encourage him. So let us do our best to encourage him and pray for him and let him know you're praying for him. I think that would mean a lot to him. So let's do that. What I want to talk about today is this idea that came to my mind. We often think of God, you've heard him called, or Jesus called, the Great Shepherd. And the idea that came to my mind is Great Scoutmaster. And I want to tell you what led me to that. And I'm going to take you, if I can take you down a trip down memory lane for just a minute or two. When I was a kid, I grew up in the Scouts, in the same troop that Jamie's in now, that I'm involved in now as a Scoutmaster. That's Troop 25 in Farmville. And when I was a boy in that troop, Scoutmaster was a man named Billy Lovett. And at the end of every meeting, we would circle up. Everybody there, all the boys would circle up. And he would give what was called a Scoutmaster's Minute. And Jerry's smiling because he's pretty familiar with Scoutmaster Minutes, I think. And I didn't know at the time that's something that every troop does, really. But we would get in this circle, and that's just a couple of minutes for the Scoutmaster to really just impart wisdom on the boys, whatever he feels led to say. So he would do that every week, and then after the Scoutmaster's Minute, we would circle up like this. We would join hands, and we would recite this, I don't know what you call it, a saying or a prayer, but we would say the same thing at the end of every meeting when we were done. And it goes like this: "And now may the great Scoutmaster of all Scouts be with us till we meet again. May we run the race at the great Scout pace up the trail that leads to him." And after we did that, then we would sing Taps. We would all sing it together in a prayerful way. We would all bow our heads and we would sing, "Day is done, gone the sun, from the lakes, from the hills, from the sky, all is well, safely rest, God is nigh." And then after that, we would all throw our hands up in the air, and we would all say, "Good night, fellas," and that was the end of the meeting. And I remember doing that week after week after week. We would do the same thing every week. I left the troop around 16 years old, and I'd gotten out of Scouts at that time, which I regret to this day. But I left the troop, and that was around 90 or maybe 91. And never stepped foot back into that building until 2013. Jamie had gone through Cub Scouts in Greenville, and we lived in Greenville, but then we moved back to Farmville, and I thought, how awesome would it be for him to transfer back to the same troop I came up in? So we went back to the scout hut, and the guy that was the scout master at that point was somebody about 5 years older than me. I remember him when I was a young scout. He was an older scout, and he was the scout master, a guy named Bruce Dale. And to my surprise, at the end of the meeting, guess what we did? We circled up, and Bruce gave a Scoutmaster Minute, and then we said the exact same thing. And now, may the great Scoutmaster of all Scouts be with us till we meet again. May we run the race at the great Scout pace up the trail that leads to him. And we sang Taps. It blew me away that 20-some years later, that Bruce had, and all the scoutmasters between Billy and Bruce, had kept that tradition going. And I've learned now that a lot of troops do that, or do some variation of that. There's a lot of different variations, but it's called the Scoutmaster's Benediction. But they have kept that going all of these years. And that's always been very meaningful to me. And I think about that phrase, that kind of frames my thoughts a lot, that we refer to God. At the end of every meeting, we say, the great Scoutmaster of all Scouts. May he be with us. And so I think about that a lot, and I think about all the traditions that have been passed on through the troop. Now I'm Scoutmaster. This is my third year as Scoutmaster, and I think about a lot of the things I learned from my Scoutmaster, Mr. Billy. I don't do everything the way he did it. I'm not Mr. Billy, and it's a different generation. It's a different set of guys. But I think about him a lot, and I think about his standards a lot. And a little side note, this is a true story. Amy will back me up. As I was sitting down thinking through my message yesterday, I was thinking about Mr. Billy, and I was thinking about some of his standards. I get a text message from one of our scouts. We're going camping next week, and I had told I told the guys before we left last Thursday, I want to see your menu for next week, and I want to see the list of guys who are going. And I didn't pay much attention to it. I just snapped a picture of one of them, one of the patrol's menus. And I was looking at it Friday, and I realized when I looked at it, he had put hot dogs for one of their meals. And I got up with, I sent him a message and his mom the message, and I said, no, you almost got one by me. We don't allow hot dogs. You're going to have to do something that requires a little more cooking skill than hot dogs out on a camping trip. Guess who I got that from? Mr. Billy. He never let us do hot dogs on a camping trip. And it just struck me that I got that message from him. Well, can we do, and he proposed something different. And I got that at the exact same moment I was thinking about Mr. Billy. But bigger things than that, I remember some of his Scoutmaster minutes. He was big on personal responsibility. Mr. Billy was real big on that, and accountability. And so I remember a lot of those things. I remember that he expected a lot out of his senior scouts, and I'm the same way. I got that from Mr. Billy. So some things we do different, but some things we do the same. Well, a couple years ago, I was at a benefit dinner, and Amy went with me, and it was a dinner that was honoring Mr. Billy for his 24 years of service as Scoutmaster of Troop 25, which is very unusual because most guys will do until their boy's gone and then maybe a year after that. But he hung around for 24 years. He was Scoutmaster of Troop 25. And as he was getting up and he gave his acceptance speech, he made a comment that kind of struck me, that stuck with me. He said, and Mr. Harold is all of our Scoutmaster. And he was referring to a man named Harold Flanagan, who was his Scoutmaster. And he still thinks of him as his Scoutmaster, just like I still think of Mr. Billy as my Scoutmaster. He will always be my Scoutmaster. And I started thinking about all the values that had been passed down in that troop is 90 years old next year. Troop 25 was established in 1929. It'll be 90 years old next year. And I think about the lineage and all of the values and the traditions that have been passed on. And even though times change, the values don't change. And it's kind of like the same dilemma in the church, isn't it? Times change, but the values don't change. But I trace that all the way back. The first Scoutmaster was a man named Ford Burns. He's the first recorded Scoutmaster in Farmville. But look back even further than him. The man that started the Boy Scout movement was a man named William Boyce. Not in Farmville, the Boy Scouts of America was a man named William Boyce. And the reason he started it is he had gone overseas. He was a wealthy man. and he had gone on a safari, and he went, he was going back by way of London, coming back to Chicago, and the fog set in, and he got lost, and he didn't know where he was going, and he come across this young boy, and the boy, he asked the boy for directions, and the boy said, "I'll show you where to go." And he led him where he needed to go, and Mr. Boyce wanted to tip that young man. And he said, "No, sir, it's my duty to do a good turn, and I can't take money for doing my duty." And that struck Mr. Boyce so much that he had to learn more about Boy Scouts. And so he sought a meeting with a man named Baden Powell. Baden Powell was the founder of the Boy Scouts in Britain. And so he sat down and he met with Baden Powell and he told him all about Scouts and he brought it back to the United States. Well, Baden Powell was a military man, but he was also a man of deep faith. And he, when he formed the Boy Scouts, he gave us a code of conduct, and we refer to that as the Scout Law. And Mr. Powell, Lord Baden Powell, actually, is quoted as saying that Boy Scouts is nothing less than applied Christianity. And I think about that a lot, too. That was his intention when he started the Boy Scout movement. This is applied Christianity. And the code of conduct that he gave us, that we still hold on to today, we call it, like I said, the Scout Law. I got good news and bad news for you guys. That was my introduction. And I don't have a 3-point sermon. How many points do I have, Jerry? 12 points. I have 12 points. Last time I had 10. This time I have 12. No, I'm kidding. So every single week, talking about this code of conduct, our guys stand at the front, and every troop does this. We open up the meeting, and our guys get in formation, and they say the Pledge of Allegiance, and then the next thing after that, they will say the Scout Law. And so they raise their signs, and they go through the Scout Law. A scout is trustworthy, loyal, helpful, friendly, courteous, kind, obedient, cheerful, thrifty, brave, clean, and reverent. Every week. Right after that, they put their signs back up, and they affirm an oath to adhere to that law. On my honor, I will do my best to do my duty to God and my country and to obey the Scout Law, to help other people at all times, to keep myself physically strong, mentally awake, and morally straight. Every week, they say that. So what I want to talk about a little today is this idea of having a code of conduct that is passed down through the generations. And we refer to our code of conduct, again, as the Scout Law. First point of that, and I'm not going to belabor these. I'll move through them pretty quick. But a scout is trustworthy. The Scout Handbook says that a scout is honest and he keeps his promises. People can depend on him. That sounds an awful lot like Jesus to me. Jesus is the most trustworthy person that you will ever meet. In fact, the Word of God says in John 14:6, "I am the way, the truth, and the light." If God makes a promise, he is going to keep his promise because he is trustworthy. God keeps his word. A scout is loyal. To me, I equate that with being faithful. The Scout Handbook says a scout is true to his family, friends, scout leaders, school, and nation. A scout is loyal. Well, God is loyal. That's where Mr. Powell got that idea. Lord Baden Powell got the idea. Think about all the times that God could have, it's been on my mind a lot lately from studying Genesis, God could have changed his mind on us, right? When sin entered the world, God could have said, "All right, they let me down. I'm done with them. But he stuck with us because God is loyal and he made a plan for us. And that's the plan of salvation through Jesus Christ. So loyalty is a biblical principle that is exemplified through the person of Jesus Christ. A scout is helpful. Our slogan is to do a good turn daily, not to be confused with our motto, which is be prepared. But our slogan is do a good turn daily. The scout handbook says a scout cares about other people. He willingly volunteers to help others without expecting a payment or reward. Matthew 5:40-42 says, if any person takes you to court to get your shirt, give him your coat also. Whoever makes you walk a short way, go with him twice as far. Give to any person who asks you for something. Do not say no to the man who wants to use something of yours. Being helpful is a biblical principle. A scout is friendly. Scout handbook says a scout is a friend to all. He is a brother to all scouts. He offers his friendship to people of all races and nations. How many times have you heard Pastor Ronnie stand up here and say, you always have a friend in Jesus? You always have a friend in Jesus. I thought the words that came to my mind when I was thinking about that, the very last phrase in the book of Matthew said, lo, I will be with you always to the very end of the age. You have a friend in Jesus. That's a biblical concept. The next two are pretty closely related. A scout is courteous and a scout is kind. To be courteous, I think about that as being a gentleman, which seems to be somewhat lost sometimes these days. But these are the things like holding a door open or giving up your seat to a lady when you see that they're all filling up and you're, you know, offering your seat up to the lady, which I'm proud to say I observed one of our scouts doing on the metro in Washington, D.C. Giving a firm handshake. It's about respecting other people. A scout is kind. And I'd say out of all the points in the scout law, if there was more kindness in the world, that would make the biggest impact, I think, because people just simply are not kind to each other anymore. But Ephesians 4:32 says, be kind to one another, tenderhearted, forgiving one another, as God in Christ forgave you. I believe God would have us to treat each other kindly. It's a biblical concept. A scout is obedient. He follows the rules of his family, school, and troop. He obeys the laws of his community and country. If he thinks these rules are and laws are unfair, he tries to have them changed in an orderly manner rather than disobeying them. That's out of the Scout Handbook. Similar question was asked to Jesus about taxes. And what was his response? It's recorded in Mark 12:17. He said, give unto Caesar what is Caesar's, and give unto God what is God's. A scout is cheerful. He looks on the bright side of life. I think about cheerful, I equate that with joy. So when we say a scout is cheerful, we don't mean he's always bouncing up and down happy, because I can assure you that when a scout is scrubbing out a Dutch oven at 9 or 10 o'clock at night and it's cold, or when he has to get up and it's 25 degrees and start cooking breakfast, he may not be all that happy, but that's not what cheerful means. Cheerful means that it's just, to me, it's like joy, that you understand that there are going to be some ups and downs. And like I tell them, you could wallow in it and you can be miserable in it, or you can get through it. There's going to be ups and downs, and being cheerful or having joy that will sustain you through the ups and downs. Proverbs 17:22, a joyful heart is good medicine, but a crushed spirit dries up the bones. Almost there. Scout is thrifty. The scout works to pay his way and to help others. He saves for the future. He protects and conserves natural resources. He carefully uses time and property. Bible speaks about that in Proverbs. Proverbs 6:6-8. Go to the ant, O sluggard. Observe her ways and be wise, which having no chief, officer, or ruler, prepares her food in the summer and gathers her provision in the harvest. Speaking about being thrifty and being frugal. The scout is brave. He can face danger although he is afraid. And he has the courage to stand for what is right, even when others may ridicule or laugh at him. We talk about that a lot. There are a lot of examples about biblical heroes being brave. The one that came to my mind right away was David facing down Goliath. But there are countless examples. A scout is clean. He keeps his body and mind fit. Now, by that, I don't mean that a scout is always clean, because when you're outside and you're camping and you're hiking, they're probably not physically clean. But we're talking about you keep your heart and your mind clean. And that was part of the scout oath, to keep yourself mentally awake and morally straight. But a scout is clean. Matthew, a similar question was asked to Jesus about consumption of food, right? And he said in Matthew 15:11, it's not what goes into a man's mouth that makes him unclean, but what comes out. He's speaking to your heart. And that's what we mean here. A scout is clean. And finally, a scout is reverent towards God, and he's faithful in his religious duties. So what I'm trying to show you here is that we have a code of conduct. And we call it the Scout Law, but that's really what it is. It's a code of conduct. And that code of conduct is based on biblical principles. And I don't think you can go far wrong if that's your code of conduct, is to weigh and measure everything you do against that. And I've pulled many a scout aside when they weren't doing right. And I'll say, all right, what point or points of the Scout Law are we not measuring up to right now? Because that's our code of conduct. And what I've seen, what I've observed is when you have, let's say, a new scout come in to the troop, initially they're just trying to memorize it. They're just trying to figure out, they just want to know the words so that when we stand up there, they can say the words and feel like they belong, but they don't always understand them. It takes a while. Initially, they're just saying it, but that's okay. If you stand up there week after week for, you know, these guys are with us for 6 years, sometimes even more, and you stand up there and you say these words constantly over and over, they start to sink in and they start to become a part of who you are. And I've seen with the older scouts that they start gaining understanding. And so we use that as our measuring stick, and it is a high bar. But what I would submit to you is we have a code of conduct too. Here it is. Our code of conduct is to follow the example and the model that was given to us by Jesus Christ. And everything we do should be measured against that standard. And you know, new Christians coming in, or even some that aren't so new, you may not understand everything. You may not understand why God says to do certain things or not to do other things, but that's okay. You do them anyway, because that's the code of conduct. And over time, you'll start to gain understanding, and it'll make more sense to you. So I do think about going back to our Scoutmaster benediction. I think about those words a lot, the idea that God is the great Scoutmaster. And it is kind of sobering to think that to think of him that way. And I'll give you guys a secret, and some of you have probably already figured this out. A Scoutmaster is really, in some ways, just a scout that never left. Never left the playground. But in other ways, it is a sobering, it is a lot of responsibility, because we seek to take those values that are passed down to us, and we think and pass those on to our guys, and we do think about them as our guys, our boys, even though they drive me crazy sometimes, and some more than others, I do look out for them. But that's what the great Scoutmaster does, right? Think about it. And I wonder if he looks at us sometimes and like shakes his head or maybe gets mad. I don't know. Maybe when he sees us make a connection and he sees that we get something, maybe he takes delight in that. But I do know that he's always leading us. He's always directing us. He's always got a path before us. And he is shepherding us. And he sets the ultimate example in every single way. And where a man, a human scoutmaster, you know, we make mistakes all the time. We're just people. A person will let you down, but God will never let you down. So his example is always perfect, and it's always right on time, and he always knows exactly what to do. So we should always strive to follow his examples. We should always strive to follow the code of conduct that he gave us. And I'll tell you, as we're going to close here, I'll tell you exactly what I tell the guys all the time. I say, stick to the code. Stick to the code. Follow the examples that we've been given. And may the great scoutmaster of all scouts be with us till we meet again. And so if we could do something a little different today, I know there aren't too many of us here, but if we could join hands in closing, can we do that?
Maybe we can even form a circle. Sacred about holding hands in a circle. We're all connected. It's brotherhood and sisterhood. And that's what church ought to be at its best. So y'all are family. And so now we're gonna say a prayer, we're gonna part and do our different ways. And we're gonna pray that God will look over us before we come back in the house. We'll pray. Father, thank you for being the ultimate example. Thank you for all that you do for us, God. Thank you for being faithful to us even when we don't deserve it. Thank you for your plan of salvation, for sending Jesus Christ to us to fill the gap where we have fallen short. Thank you for the word that you've given us, God, that we can consult and we can look at and try to figure out how we need to live our own lives. And we can look at your word for guidance in that. And we know, God, that you're always going to be there for us. You're always guiding and directing us because you love us so much. So God, thank you for all you do. Now, Father, we pray that you would be with each and every person here, be with each and every family, bless them, keep them, and be with those who couldn't be here today. And bring us all back into your house safely next week. We love you and we praise you.